What's up, everyone? It's Tyler from Shop Talk. So before we get into some football today, I wanted to real quick thank y'all for listening, tell you a little bit about our company, Game Time Sidekicks. So we're a brand of officially licensed stainless steel drinkware with over 300 plus NCAA universities. We're located in Knoxville, Tennessee. We sell online at GameTimeSidekicks.com, as well as retailers and fan shops all across the country, like Dick's Sporting Goods, Alumni Hall, Rally House, Shields, and lots of campus bookstores. We do all our logo and color printing here in Tennessee and offer tons of designs for each school. Our drinkware line ranges from stainless steel sippy cups all the way to 20, 30, and 40-ounce tumblers, all double wall vacuum insulated for maximum temperature retention. So check us out on all the socials under Game Time Sidekicks or GameTimeSidekicks.com and use code SHOPTALK for 15% off your order. This podcast, Shop Talk, is really just the ramblings that naturally occur around our office, so we wanted to hit the record button and bring that to fans. Nothing scripted or produced, clearly. Just three goofballs talking football while we try to run a cool business. We really appreciate y'all's support. Thank you for listening, and let's get into some football. Well, did you think the spread was too high?
On Florida, Tennessee?
Yeah.
I really had no idea. I thought Tennessee would beat them by 10 at least, so I didn't think it was too high.
I kind of thought
I was wrong.
I kind of thought both ways. So I thought it seems too high to me. But Vegas, like you kind of said, Vegas don't really, I mean, they ain't like in the business of losing, especially being off by all that much. I thought it was a little surprising, but I mean, what, you know, the crazy spread I thought about this weekend was Georgia, South Carolina. I know in hindsight, yeah, clearly that was too high of a spread. But dude, it was 27, 28 points.
Yeah.
That was wild. I mean, I know Georgia's really good, but dude, that's a lot of points.
Yeah. And it's like South Carolina has that, they just have that little bit of spark somehow or another. They're just like an upset team.
You know,
They're not expected to win those games, but I don't look forward to playing South Carolina, especially when they've got him at quarterback.
So
I mean, he's a good college football quarterback.
Yes, he is. And I remember him from the year Oklahoma played Florida in, I guess it was a BCS ball. I forget which one it was, but he looked amazing, right? And I know the knock on him is he makes some bad decisions. But when you watch him play, he makes enough. First of all, he makes more good decisions than bad decisions, clearly. And he's got like high level talent.
Yeah.
Like he makes NFL throws. When he's making good decisions, he's as good as anybody out there. And trust me, I've been on here, talked about South Carolina. I'm not, you know, crazy high on them necessarily, but like, dude, they've got guys. They're like good. When you watch them play, they've got real guys on the outside.
I mean, South Carolina's always been a kind of a hotbed for some recruits. I know back in the day when Tennessee was real good,
yeah,
it was like former Liv over there. So I mean, there's some talent there. But you're right; they're not. I mean, South Carolina is almost like they're a middle tier team, but they can play right at the top anytime. It's like they lose games they shouldn't,
yeah,
but they play in games that they shouldn't.
They're not good enough to beat. They're not good enough to get automatic W's, but they're not bad enough to not be in games with good teams.
Right.
I was kind of saying, telling Jim this earlier, I think the SEC, everyone's down in the SEC this year. Yes, the ceiling or the unbeatable teams aren't necessarily there. I agree. But I also believe there's a case to be made that, like, it's a little harder if you're in the SEC, right? So, like, if you're in the SEC, there's on the bright side, you look at your schedule and you're saying, okay, there's no real unbeatable teams at this point. 3 weeks in the season, we may not know jack, but at this point, nobody looks unbeatable. But at the same time, nobody looks like there's not a lot of easy W's either. Like, you think Missouri's an easy W with Luther Burden and Cook, and they just beat the number 15 team in the country? They're not easy. You think, obviously LSU's not easy, but like you thought LSU may not be. Now they look really good. Like, Alabama's still Alabama. Like, there's no looking through the schedule for both Tennessee and Florida. It's two medium of the pack teams that could. It's just tough. Like I kind of think the SEC may be in a way a little more difficult this year because nobody is an easy W.
And I agree with that. It's obviously tougher for us with what offense now that I'm looking at, but
yeah,
you look across, like you say, you look across and there's no, and we mentioned that when we were talking about last, I think a couple of weeks ago, when we were talking about Florida's schedule next year, like we were going through how tough it was, these non-conference teams that were in there. But we also looked at, hey, we got, there's four other SEC teams on there that aren't ranked.
Yep.
That, you know, they're going to give you a ball game. And that's why, I mean, that's why the SEC is, in my opinion, different. You got to go through the gauntlet every single year. And like you said, we don't have that Georgia of last year or Alabama of the past that you say, well, they're not going to get beat, but everybody's fighting to play them in the SEC.
Yeah.
You may not have that, but man, it's wide open. I mean, you don't really know who's going to be in it. I mean, you would think that right now, you would think Georgia and
LSU, maybe
LSU, Alabama, they're going to be your front runners to get into it, but there's a lot of football to be played in the SEC.
Yeah, and granted, it still is week three, so like there's no – we don't – even things we think we know, if you look back at last year after week three, like we thought we knew certain things. You know, I don't know. But if we're – all we can do is talk about what has happened, and what has happened kind of leads us to believe like there may be some beatable teams. Okay, so Tennessee, Florida, we'll go ahead and get this. Honestly, there's not a ton to talk – like there wasn't a lot of great – matchups this past weekend. We're recording on Monday. Saturday wasn't like, going into Saturday wasn't like, oh, look at all these good games. It was a couple good games. There's a reason Tennessee, Florida was 7 o'clock prime time, right? Now that's, and because of that, and then looking at next week, there's a ton of good matchups. So we won't spend a ton, there's not like a ton to talk about.
I appreciate that.
I'm not going to like twist the knife.
Let's just blur right through this part.
I'm not going to like twist the knife. Listen, I had to come on here last year after Florida lost to Tennessee. And at that point, I don't know that I was necessarily wrong, but I was like, hey, Tennessee's the better team. Florida played them a good game. There's a case that can be made. It was a little closer or a little less close than what the score indicated. But this year, I don't know, man. Everyone's talking about, oh, Tennessee can't win in the Swamp. Clearly, they do have trouble. But I didn't put a lot of stock into that going into this game because, like, it's different coaches, different players. I don't know how much I really care about that. But anyway.
I will say that place was rocking.
Dude, that's one of the things that I think is a little underrated. No, I won't say underrated because the Swamp at its peak, and that's how I usually judge these stadiums at their peak, dude. That's a tough place to play. It's tough. It was so tough. It was even tough on our offense.
And I know this is we're going to show up too. But credit to the Florida players because it's not been the Florida fans because it's not been the greatest stretch for Florida. They showed up.
Yeah.
They showed up.
We were 1-1 with a bad loss to Utah. I was wondering.
But even after last season, you know, I mean, the expectations are not there for Florida to be great, and the fans showed up and were a factor in that game, in my opinion.
So 29-16, Florida wins, obviously. I don't know. It's hard for me to talk about these games in a way because, like, for one, it seems like when you give your opinion on college football, you piss a bunch of people off, and we're trying to sell products, so like I don't really want to piss anybody off. And at the same time, like Florida, like I have an opinion that would make Florida fans upset, and since I'm a Florida fan, make everybody else upset. So like I don't really know how to speak on this game. I think Florida's a top 10 team? No. But do I think they were a little bit I don't want to say underrated, but they, dude, I sent y'all those screenshots. People thought Napier was going to be fired by November. They thought they were going to win three games. They thought, double-digit win. Like, all these things. Like, I think we kind of, again, I don't think Florida is a great team, but we kind of assumed that they were kind of bad, I suppose. And I told you, their running game's good.
Yeah, and it is. And there was a lot of perfect storm kind of stuff there. Like, the running game is really good, and our tackling is really bad. There's a lot of things that
if you get past
your pros went against our cons in a lot of spots.
If you got past Tennessee's front defensively, you can run the ball against them. Now that's a tough thing to do because they do have a really aggressive front. Mm-hmm. Now one thing I don't want to do, like I know it's Tennessee to talk, I don't think Tennessee's a bad team. I know the thought now is like, oh, switch this guy. I don't think Tennessee's bad. I don't think Florida's great either, but you know, I do think it was you saw a couple of things with the Tennessee, especially the tackling and secondary was tough. ETN is elite.
Yes.
But Tennessee made some bad attempts at tackling him too.
And I take nothing away from Florida. I mean, like you said, their run game was good. Our tackling was bad, but you know, it's not the fact that they weren't 15 yards downfield already trying to make the tackle too.
Yeah.
I don't know where we learned to tackle, where you just throw your forearm into somebody and stuff like that. But
I didn't. So like, I feel even less inclined to be like from my couch, be like, hey, dude, this is how you tackle.
Yeah.
Like I can't do that.
Yeah.
But sometimes when you watch a guy try to tackle, you're like, okay, what was he doing? You know, like what was Five doing on that long ETN run where he just kind of like, it looked like he's trying to shoulder bump it.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it, honestly, is that, and I hate to sound like the old man over here, but I've been around, you know, football practices 25 years ago, and now the ways practices are ran now, it's a lot more about safety and it's a lot less hidden in practice and a lot less fundamental stuff like practicing tackling, which is, it's not an easy thing to do, get somebody on the ground when they're moving at that speed. So, I mean, it has to be practiced at some point. And I feel like you see stuff like that where you just don't, I guess you don't focus on tackling fundamentals at the college level, and it, you know, it shows at times.
So you're going on record and saying all kids from this generation are sissies?
I'm not saying they're sissy. I'm just saying that they've made the game they've made players more valuable, I guess.
Their
physicality.
Yeah. When you don't practice physicality and ingrain it into a culture and the DNA of a football team, you kind of see it maybe sometimes. Yeah. And I I'm getting into the nitty gritty of football stuff where that is not my forte. I do not know that but in the least, but it does, you know, if I'm just trying to make an observation, it seems to be, you know, Tennessee's front's really good on defense.
Mm-hmm.
What they aren't is really big and physical. So they're speedy. They're meant to be able to, you know,
play a lot of snaps.
Yes. So that's my point. So if strategically, from what I understand, is if Heupel's forming a team that the defense is going to be on the field a little bit longer because you got a high octane offense, you know, maybe that's what we're seeing, is they're not as big and physical up front. I think, do you think that, you know, kind of on both lines, I kind of think on both lines of scrimmage, Florida won the game.
Oh yeah. I thought so for sure. I mean, they were, like you said, they were making holes up front and getting you to the second level. And then we didn't tackle well in the second level, stuff like that. But offensively, our offensive line got manhandled. There was a lot of, you know, Florida guys in the backfield that seemed like not long.
What do you think of Milton? I know that's the hot point of everybody right now.
Well, this is where I stand on it. So, I've had this conversation obviously ever since Saturday with different people, but
yeah, what's your buddy saying?
Yeah, for me, like, you know, there's some that are, we got to get Joe out of there. There's some of them that are, you know, it's not Joe's fault. The way I look at that game, if I broke it down and I said, hey, Joe Milton was not the reason that we lost that game. I will say that. He's not the reason we lost that game. But he's not been the reason we're winning games.
Mm-hmm.
He's a 12th-year senior. It's time for him to start being a difference maker, not just running the offense. You know, like Hendon was a difference maker.
God, so good.
He was so good. And we wanted that from Joe. Everybody wanted that from Joe and Knoxville.
And you kind of thought it
wants him to succeed.
You kind of thought after the Clemson game, you're going to get it too.
I think at this point now where I stand is we're kind of hoping something out of Joe that may be it in there. We've seen a big enough sample size to know what he's capable of. And at this point, I don't see, if I'm being realistic as a Vols fan, I don't see that there's any shot of us making the SEC title now, because we have to play Georgia still. Odds are we're probably going to get beat by Georgia or Alabama going forward. I mean, that's just the odds.
And or both.
Or more, or and possibly multiple.
And
so to me, at this point, you're, at this point, I think you got to kind of start looking at, or we've got a lot of young guys playing around the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Maybe start moving the younger guy in there if they're close. Now, I'm not in there, and Heupel knows a lot more than I do about mm-hmm. this, but if they're close, at this point, you got to start thinking, okay, do we go with the kid? And the even bigger factor is this. He's getting paid $8 million to sit over there. So if we want to be this Tennessee that's going to have NIL money and bring in these players,
you got to prove that you're willing to play them too.
Yeah, the people that are fronting that bill got an opinion at this point. We've been back and forth. Like, if I'm paying something to go towards Nico sitting over there on the bench and we've seen this kind of performance, I'm going to start saying, hey, I'd like to see that dude I'm paying for get in there. And then next year, if you're not paying me, don't come asking me for that money for another player. You know, I mean, there's people out there that will have that opinion, and to be honest with you, it's a lot of money to put into it.
Dude, it's just such a wild, like, it's a wild conversation to be having you know what I'm saying? Like, I never really had thought about that, at least not in the Tennessee context. And now I'm thinking about it, I'm like, that's a wild conversation to be having in college nowadays. Like, I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying, like, businesses, basically. I know donors in the past have had influence when it comes to coaches getting fired, not fired, about stuff like that, big donors. But I'm just talking about, like, the money he's making are based off businesses. It's essentially like us.
Yeah.
We're not doing it, but, you know, like us that are saying, hey, so I see what you're saying.
I just feel like all of a sudden there's a lot more Chiefs and not enough Indians in the rooms. You know, like, there's a lot of people making decisions. And look at the coach. Like, does he have to listen to donors at this point?
Yeah.
I mean, in a way, as a coach, I would kind of be trying to make them happy or keep them happy.
I do think from an outside perspective, I wouldn't necessarily say outside, living in Knoxville, you know, I don't want Tennessee to not do well. I root for Florida when they play each other, but I also root for Tennessee pretty much every other game. I do think you need to either let Joe run the offense in which, I'm not saying the same offense that Hendon ran, but I'm saying you got to let the dude throw. I know he's not, like, maybe Heupel's not confident in some throws of letting him make. So, for example, pretty much the only thing they throw are screen passes or deep balls.
Right.
He does not throw the ball to the middle of the field. He does not throw, like NFL outs and stuff like that, which I know he I know he can at least complete the throw. Mm-hmm. I just wonder, you know, when that – if you're going to keep playing him, then I think – maybe that should happen a little bit in SEC play.
And that goes back to what, like, Heupel knows more than we know.
He
does know more than we know, so there's a reason why he's doing it, but is he – I feel like he's handcuffed right now with his play call.
A little bit.
But to me, it's – he knows – this is the part he knows that I can't really get into. Yeah. Is he handcuffed because of his offensive line?
Yeah.
Is he handcuffed because of his quarterback? Or, you know, something's different about that offense. And, look, it could be the wide receivers don't get open as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had studs last year, and maybe these guys just aren't, but I feel like I've seen Squirrel get open. I feel like I've seen just about everybody. Keaton. I mean,
oh, Keaton was toast.
You know, Brew McCoy is going to find a way to get it. I feel like they're getting open. I don't know if they have enough time. Obviously, our offensive line was bad, so, you know, there's a lot of blame to go around. But to me, I would make the change if it's close. And the reason why I would make the change is because of, at this point, I feel like there's not a whole lot. I guess I feel like there's more to be gained by working the young kid at this point.
Because
we're not going to have him long if he's if he is what he's advertised to be and what we're paying for.
Yeah,
he ain't gonna be here long.
Well, I also think, you know, if we're sitting here talking, I'm like the least. One thing, especially just business teaches you, is like I never get too overly excited in a good way or overly upset in a bad way. So, like, on one hand, I'm thinking we're sitting here talking about this after one loss. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. So I'm not really one to be like, oh, who should be benched? But at the same time, it's one loss, but it's also the second kind of
bad offensive performance.
Yes. I know everyone says, well, win's a win. Yes, correct. But if we're just being honest with the state of the Tennessee program, playing a team like Austin Peay, they were underwhelming in that performance. So, like, it's not, it's only one loss, but is it a blip or a trend? You know, and like that's what the guys that are paid to figure out.
Like, we didn't get to talk about the Austin Peay game last week, but like the word on the streets, and I think it was a lot of us trying to comfort ourselves after mm-hmm. that Austin Peay game was, well, he was real, you know, vanilla with the play calling. I don't think he wanted to show a whole lot, but after watching the Florida game, I think he's just doing what he, like the only things he feels like he can do.
Yep.
And I feel like he's handcuffed.
I agree. And, you know, it's tough though, because you saw, dude, that Tennessee offense still, the whole game, I'm thinking, you know, it was three scores at one point, mostly two scores, meaning two touchdowns and extra points. But either way, I knew how quick that Tennessee offense can strike. Yes, the wide receiver screens don't necessarily scare me, but those deep balls did, because he missed a couple. Now, I think if he hits the first one of those, Florida adjusts a little bit. But Florida, you could tell Florida was like, they were going to make him prove he can be consistent with that. Mm-hmm. And but they still scared me, because I know how fast Tennessee can score. You know, and I never thought the game, people were texting me like, oh, the game's over at halftime. I was clear. No, zero chance that's the case. Now, I know Florida came out really vanilla in the second half. Even Napier said that, well, Mertz had a hurt hand and a bleeding hand, and he couldn't throw the ball. He only threw the ball four times in the second half.
No, they didn't need it.
They didn't need it. I know. Then you get into like, well, did he, when you get a lead that big, do you clam up? You're screwed either way, kind of, if it doesn't go your way, right? So, like, if you get a lead that big, are you supposed to be throwing? If you throw a pick, you're like, why are you throwing it? You're up, you know, 20 points. So,
The sense of urgency wasn't there, because Tennessee kept shooting themselves in the foot, too, you know, or something would happen, a turnover, or, you know, something kept happening.
I think it needs to be said from Florida fans, do I agree that the refs were as bad as maybe some Tennessee fans say? Maybe not, but Florida fans also need to admit that starting with the first bad call, that what was the official call when it was the crackback? Targeting?
Defensive blindside.
Blindside. That was a terrible call.
Yeah, I mean, it's behind the line of scrimmage.
And
it's
very right impactful because that was third down. Yeah. Or what? Wasn't it? It was. Yeah, I just remember thinking that's impactful.
That one, it's a bad call, but, you know, that's going to happen in the course of a game. A bad call is going to happen. And then I think they probably screwed up stopping and letting Florida substitute some guys in when they weren't supposed to. But it's one.
Here's my thing with that, though.
Plays that,
so there was a holding call that people are screenshotting. That holding call, they missed the holding call on Florida, but we also lost 3 yards on that carry. So, one of the pass interferences, the ball went into like the first row. I don't know how catchable that ball was. Still, you know, I'm not saying one way or another. To your point, that I think was, here's my take on that. I think that was lucky for Florida, but I don't think, in my opinion, they didn't necessarily do anything wrong with the call. So like, if you go back and watch it, the ref places the ball and then accidentally kicks it. And then the Tennessee guy grabs it and just places it back. And the ref can't let the center place the ball. So he went to pause it. They didn't say, okay, now
bring him on.
If you watch, Florida substitute at their own risk.
Yeah,
so all Tennessee had to do was snap the freaking ball. So when they reset the ball, Milton walks away. When he walks away, you see Hopple saying, he puts his hands up, but Hopple's like, snap the ball, because they could have caught them and honestly scored.
Yeah.
So it's lucky for Florida, don't get me wrong, but it's just an unfortunate.
I don't think they
did anything necessarily incorrect.
Right. I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying? Even Hopple.
I was at a place where I couldn't really hear what they were saying.
Yeah.
So visually, it looked like they so I couldn't really.
It looks like they were like, oh, let Florida sub. Yeah. But even Hopple in the moment knew that it's Tennessee's job to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Florida put themselves at a very big risk by subbing. But then what happened is when Milton walked off, he forfeited the opportunity, or he kind of like let go of the opportunity to snap that ball and do, you know, whatever. Yeah. We got real lucky. I'm not saying Florida didn't get lucky.
I mean, the way you explained it, that does make sense. Like I said, I couldn't hear what they were saying. I'd heard that the announcers were kind of talking about how they had done that wrong. So maybe, mm-hmm. you know, if If yeah, you hear that, you're going to repeat it around here a lot of times.
Well, they did, I mean? But the good thing is they phoned in that referee that was watching, and he was like, yeah, Florida sub, but that was at their own risk. Then I went back and watched it because I was like,
How did this happen?
And you can see Heupel knew it to his point. Now, after the game, he tries to say, like, I've never seen a ref kick the ball. But during the game, he knew he could have taken advantage of that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess my point was, like, Florida fans don't need to act like the calls were perfect. They were not perfect.
Yeah. It's just Monday morning.
Yeah, like, it's frustrating, dude. It is.
We're not the difference in that.
But it is frustrating when you lose and they do screw up those calls. I get it, man.
I'm more disappointed in Tennessee than I am referees, because it was not a good performance.
Yeah.
Any way you shake it, you can blame it on this, that, or the other. But we did. I mean, there was stuff in that game that we did that was so boneheaded, like a 4th-and-1
that was
Florida's territory,
dumb,
and could have changed the game right there.
Mm-hmm.
And we jump off sides. I guess that they go over that stuff the same day that they do tackling drills, because that's elementary stuff that should just that can't happen. They can't do that. But it is what it is. Like I said, I'm not going to blame any refs or anything. They weren't great, but they never. I mean, what game do we ever say those refs were awesome?
Yeah,
I mean,
we've said on here before, like, there needs to be accountability for the rest, for sure. I'm not changing my tone now just because Florida was the beneficiary of it. But
I don't think it impacted the game enough to change it.
No, to put a bow on at least the Florida side, do I think this means we're great? No, don't be silly. Do I think we may have underestimated Florida a little bit going into this game? Like, I don't think you were wrong if you said Florida's mediocre. I think you were wrong if you said Florida was going to win 3 games all season, fire Napier by. I mean, this was literal. This is like big time sports writers saying this. This wasn't like Joe Schmo on Twitter. That's what kind of got me. I was like, I think we're kind of better than that.
Yeah, I don't know where that.
Who knows how much of it was clickbait? I don't know.
That's the thing. What are you going to find on the internet?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I will say this, Napier. I mean it. He did a good job.
Yeah.
And that's 2 years in a row that I've said he coached a good game.
Yeah.
I mean, last year they got beat, but he threw the kitchen sink at them last year, too. So that's the other thing on that 4th-and-1 deep in their territory. Last year he was going for those. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, I say you shouldn't be.
Because he had to, though, last year.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, looking back, I'm thinking.
I mean, he's scared.
I'm not just because we beat Tennessee. I really like Billy Napier. I want him to win so bad because I was about to text y'all this. Before going in the game, I didn't think Florida was necessarily going to win either. I thought it would be a little bit closer. But I was dreading so much Florida losing and then the people jumping on Napier for that. Do I think, and that was going to be the worst part about Florida losing, not just to Tennessee, I don't love that side of things, but no, anyway.
I'm with you. I don't think Napier's a bad coach. I've seen two games he's coached, and both games I thought he did really well, but I don't know why, a lot of people around here were thinking we're going to go blow out Florida. Like, one, we've won twice in my lifetime in the Swamp. Two, like, it's still Florida, the University of Florida football team. They're not all of a sudden falling off to a team that's not going to be able to beat your butt at their place. I mean,
that one last thing I'll say about that, I agree. That reminded me, you know, this narrative has been for the past 20 years, Tennessee's brought a better team in the Swamp every year and lost. Here's the thing. As a Florida fan, I do not agree with that. Now, do I think Florida has been great for the past 20 years? No. We've been mediocre at best some years. But there's only been one time Tennessee has ever brought a team into the Swamp in the past 20 years that they were favored. One year. And that was the Felipe Franks Hail Mary year.
Yeah.
And they were favored by 1 point. So this narrative that, like, Tennessee always brings a better team in there and just loses, I don't think that's fair. Now, at the same time, that doesn't mean I think Florida has been great this past 20 years. Clearly, there's been years that we were subpar.
Right.
But.
As were we.
Yes. So, it was a battle of the two mediocres. Anyway, moving forward, Tennessee's got a get-right game versus Texas San Antonio. Florida plays. Honestly, our two teams playing each other last week. Now we're the only two teams in the SEC that have a cupcake game, or one of the few teams. So we get to kind of, both of us kind of regroup a little bit. Georgia, South Carolina. Dude, that was touch and go there for a little while.
Yeah. I mean, and
I know we talked a little bit about Spencer Rattler already, but
I had kind of watched the first half of it when it was 14-3. And then I drove over to a party to watch a graduation party and watch the ball game. And by the time I got there, it was 17-14. So I didn't really see how Georgia came back so fast. But then it was like the wind was out of my sails when I saw they had taken the lead there. So I missed Georgia coming back on.
So do you root for Georgia to win? Because if or to lose that game? Because if Georgia loses South Carolina, that also simultaneously means South Carolina can beat Georgia. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's the downside of that as a Tennessee fan.
Well, I mean, as a Tennessee fan, you're watching it. Heck yeah, you're wanting South Carolina to beat them, because at that point we're thinking, okay, Georgia's going to have a loss. We're going to beat Florida. We're going to be sitting atop the SEC.
Yeah.
And, you know, then it's Georgia and us to play for SEC title. That's the thought. So, yeah, I was rooting for – and honestly, no matter what, I just don't hate South Carolina as much as I do Georgia as a Tennessee fan. And that's so just over. Because of the success of Georgia, or just because my buddy Derek makes me hate.
Well, when somebody wins Georgia. Two national championships, I don't know who outside their fan base is like, yeah, let me see him win a third.
Yeah.
Like, no one really wants to see it. I will say this. I was really impressed. I don't have a hate for Georgia. I also think Kirby Smart is an incredible football coach.
Yeah, he is good.
When you hear him talk, like the way that he can kind of manage his team's vibes going into a halftime when they're down 14-3, knowing that they have the better team, knowing that you can't get out of your game plan, how you motivate those guys to come out in the second half, dude, he's just good.
I think he's everything, well, maybe not everything, but he's as close to a Saban, but on the other side of it, I just feel like he's a player's coach also. Like the guy, I think the guy's I just feel like he's a more likable guy as far as players go and not so much down the business. Like, I don't ever feel like I see Saban smile.
Yeah.
But Kirby is almost like he's done the same thing that Saban's done, but he's had fun with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it looks like he's enjoying it instead of just mad at the world like Saban does at times.
Yeah, I can see that.
But he's a dang good coach. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, man. Like we were talking about to open up, South Carolina's got some guys. They may be – I know that they were the sexy pick to be really good starting the season, but I know they lost by 10. But, you know, Carson Beck's probably going to continue to get better for Georgia. Yeah. They still have the most talented group of players in the country, probably.
They have quarterbacks with punchable faces, for sure.
Yeah.
Stetson, then him.
He's got a nice little forearm tattoo, though. I like that one. I think, does he have a tiger on his forearm as a bulldog?
I don't know.
That's what I thought was crazy.
I don't know.
I was like, dude, is that legal?
He's going to be good.
Yeah. They run the ball great. I mean, obviously, Brock Bowers was held to, let's see here, held to 7 receptions, 54 yards. You know, he's still tough because he pulls coverage. Yeah. He allows guys to catch. He can have an impact. Yeah.
I mean, he's a grunt.
But yeah, I mean, the moral of the story is that game, South Carolina's got some guys they can play with. I think they're going to continue to prove they can play with anybody. Now, they are 1-2.
they're a 1-2 team, but I'm telling you, they're scary. Capable of being a top 25 team.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah, there's guys in top 25, I think.
Yeah, they'd smoke.
I mean, right now they're favored to beat Florida. Per the ESPN predictor or whatever. Now, by like a percent or something. But
I mean, that's what I'm kind of – I mean, if you play it off Vegas and South Carolina is supposed to beat Florida, who just beat you as Tennessee, like, I just don't see – I don't see a reason not to play the kid. Like, I'm kind of getting
Nico?
To the point where, yeah –
we'll see.
I just think it's going to be a hard road this year either way.
I can tell you right now, they struggle versus San Antonio if he struggled. And again, we're not necessarily bench guys, but like, you know, it's just the nature of college football talk. Like,
right.
At a high level, guys getting paid a lot of money. Like, now that kind of opens the playing field to like, hey, should you keep playing? You know, stuff like that. So, but he better get right versus San Antonio.
Well, either way, we're going to see them both on Saturday.
For sure. LSU looks high level again. Mississippi State struggled big time versus some LSU. You know, they didn't look great versus Florida State. They look great versus Mississippi State. So do I think that they still have as good a chance as anybody in the West to win that division?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like. Missouri, and that's my to my point about, like, no one's an easy W. Like, a lot of people had Missouri, Florida, and Vandy at the bottom of the East. Well, Missouri just beat number 15 team in the country, and Everyone thought they were going to stink. And they have Luther Burden, who's probably the best receiver in the country, along with Marvin Harris. Definitely tops the SEC. I mean, single-handedly, just a wrecking ball. Like,
I mean, that the SEC East is going to be a gauntlet.
It's just tough because no one's head and shoulders above the other. So, Ole Miss beat the brakes off Georgia Tech.
Vandy scored 37 points this week.
Yeah, but they lost.
That's true.
To UNLV. I don't know how good UNLV is, but they did troll the SEC after that.
Well,
they just said it mean. They posted. I love this. First of all, the SEC has not done well out of conference this year. We get it. But let's rewind for the past 25 years if we're going to be fair about this. And you can't beat Vandy and then troll the SEC. You just can't.
No,
like, that's not how this works.
No. It is what it is. SEC talks enough that I guess you're going to hear about it.
Yeah, for sure. BYU beat Arkansas by 7. Arkansas has got some offense. I didn't watch that game. But Arkansas has some offensive line issues, I believe.
Yeah.
From the rumors, and then Kentucky beat the brakes off Akron. Kentucky's one that I still don't think we know much about.
I don't think so either.
They've been underwhelming in some ways the first two games. I don't know much about this particular game versus Akron, who's probably not very good.
I hope they're awful because that would be the only other. Besides Vandy, the only game that I feel confident in.
Yeah, I hope they are too. Because Florida plays them. That's the next Florida. That's in Florida's next SEC game. Alabama, South Florida. Did you watch any of that one?
I watched a little bit of it before the rain delay, and then I kind of kept an eye on it because I was more or less watching that Georgia, South Carolina. But
that's a different Alabama looking
it
team.
It is. And he's benching quarterbacks. I mean,
they got to go back to Milroe. I think. Here's my thing with Alabama, and I'm not the first guy to say this, so I wouldn't take credit for it, but I'm not like a stomp on the grave guy. Yeah. Like, when good teams become not good, collectively as irrational fans, we're like, ha ha ha, look, you suck, and like stomp on their grave and like, oh, they suck now. But spare me the grave dancing until they actually lose to a bad what I thought after Texas. We didn't record after that game, but what I thought after Texas, everyone was like, oh, the dynasty's dead. Dude, they lost to Texas. Texas is third in the country, and they pretty much could have won the game. I mean, it wasn't like a blowout. So let's hold off on that. Let's see them lose to a bad team. Well, they almost did.
Yeah.
It was 17-3, but it was 10-3 and 5 minutes ago in the fourth quarter, and South Florida had the ball.
Yeah, and I'm sure how did South Florida ever get Alabama to play at South Florida? I don't know.
They did a home and home, I think. Yeah. Florida did the same thing.
I don't know how they pulled that off. With
it makes more South sense with Florida, Florida because it's Florida.
It's in Florida. But anyway, South Florida's, you know, they always have some dudes, but they should not be playing with Alabama. I mean, what Alabama's built over there should be playing with them, but there's some serious issues there at quarterback, and I'm definitely not on the bandwagon of the dynasty's dead either. I'll never bet against Nick Saban.
Heck no.
To bring it back, but there seems to be just a little bit of. It seems to be the weakest we've seen them in a long time, for sure. Like they're just not quite as scary as they used to be.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. I think a lot of it has to do with the quarterback.
And here's the other thing. Like, when Kirby's doing what he's doing over there, that's taking a page out of Saban's books.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hurting him.
And players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mostly players.
Yeah.
I mean, he's getting the dudes that at Georgia that he was getting at Alabama in the past. And kids are kids. And what's hot at the time is where they're going to go and what yeah. they're going to do. And it's almost like Alabama's kind of just taking a back seat to Georgia a little bit there. And that, yeah. I mean, and if you're not number one, you're falling down there with everybody else.
Yeah, I do kind of think the what surprised me about Alabama this year, and we'll move on to the next week here in a second, but is I'm surprised that Saban didn't have a more surefire quarterback plan. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, no one thought after seeing Milroe play last year that, like, oh, he's the answer, no questions asked for quarterback this year. We thought he was really good in some ways, but I'm a little surprised there's a gap in high-level quarterback play there. Because yeah. you know that's something that Saban plans for. I wonder if you got him off the record and was like, hey, what happened here? Did you just whiff in recruiting and now it's catching up to you in quarterback? Did you think someone was going to be your answer and then they ended up not being? Like, what happened here? Because that's the fascinating part of it for me. You know that you need a quarterback. You went from Matt Jones, Bryce Young, Tua. I mean, I know.
You went through a gauntlet of quarterback.
NFL starters.
But, you know, he got really, like you said, he did have a really, really good run. But before those dudes, you know, you named about a beginning of where their quarterback became the star on Alabama. For a long time, it was they had dudes in there like McElroy that just ran the offense and still dominated.
Correct, yes.
So, I mean, it's almost like for once he doesn't have that star for the last – I mean, really for the last 7-8 years he's probably had a star at QB.
Yeah. Yeah, there and was a shift. They kind of
built their offense around that too.
Yeah, there was a shift from game managers to just when Tua took – well, Jalen Hurts kind of did this, but then Tua was like, holy smokes. Yeah. This is a difference. This is a nasty animal of Alabama offense. Yeah. So
– and then they've won some Heisman, you know, since at quarterback. Yeah. What, two? How many Heisman?
Dude, I've lost track of Heismans. Yeah. I don't even pay attention to anymore. Yeah. But, I think Bryce Young did win one. Did yeah, Mac Bryce Jones did. Win one?
No. Did Tua?
I don't remember. I don't even know about this Heisman stuff anymore.
Well, I quit caring about it back when Peyton did.
Peyton lost the yeah, wasn't Peyton yeah won. Typical Tennessee fan. all right, coming up this week. This week's a doozy. And shout out to YouTube. Do you have YouTube TV?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, the that's four screens. Yes. Awesome. And it's even better for. First of all, they have Sunday Ticket now. So after years of DirecTV screwing that up, we finally get a capable coverage because they have the same grid for YouTube or for NFL Sunday Ticket and football. So last year, which, you know, you could only really get one, maybe two games at a time. Now you can get all four. It works well.
The ticket does it too?
Yeah, ticket does it too. But for, you know, we were coming here last year and like, I didn't get to watch a ton of games because, you know, you got to have to choose.
Yeah.
This year, I've seen more games because of it. So yeah. YouTube TV definitely hits that.
I haven't got the NFL Sunday Ticket yet. I do too much ball. My son's got too much ball on Sunday afternoons to justify buying it. But I know how much I love the college football four screens that YouTube.
I watch.
Shout
more
out to
NFL.
YouTube TV for you know.
Yeah, if you want to sponsor us, give us free Sunday tickets. That'd be cool.
That'd be awesome.
I watch more NFL than I do college. I pay attention to the SEC, of course, with this stuff with our business and stuff. But I watch more NFL. NFL, I'm pretty useless.
Yeah. I can understand.
All right, so Saturday, dude. This is a good. It's a good. No, so outside of the SEC, you have Oregon, Colorado, which is interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Colorado State game?
I watched some of that one, and then I did not make it to the overtime.
I did. I watched it the next morning.
Yeah.
Very interesting game. Hopefully Travis Hunter can play in this Oregon game because them not having him is a big deal, obviously, when a guy plays literally every snap on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm in a bad mood because Tennessee lost, but I'm kind of getting over the Coach Prime hype. I mean, like.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I don't love, for the most part, the whole country's in love with it. I'm fine with that. What I don't get is these people saying that they're sick of the Prime hate or the Colorado hate. I'm like, dude, nobody is saying that. It's the whole – dude, did you see game day there? It was the best environment of game day in like 20 years is what they're saying. Everybody's in love with this.
I think that – I think Deion has that same tick in him like Michael Jordan where he tries to find something about something to piss him off. Before, you know, he's got to have some type of motivation.
Yeah. And he's going to –
no matter what it is.
It's a little –
everybody hates him.
Yeah. You know? It's – yeah. Exactly. Dude, everybody loves you.
Yeah.
Like, it's a little, yes. Do I think, am I like anti it? No, absolutely not. It's a cool story, whatever. Is it my, you know, is it, I don't know, is it my taste or is it how I would, no, it's not how I would do things, but that's okay.
He doesn't bother me.
The hate is there like they think it is. Dude, you had Lil Wayne coming out. You had Migos on the sideline. You have The Rock there. This is not a hated team.
And here's the thing. Like, I get it. I get the hype. And for it makes for good TV for, you know, game day to be there and stuff. But why is game day at Colorado and Colorado State? Like, why are they there?
Yes.
That's an unranked Colorado State team that almost beat a Colorado team. 24-point favorite. Should have housed them. And the storyline was they went to overtime. But if – let's just say this is not prime and it's Colorado and them – we're not talking about how they miraculously won in double overtime. We're talking about, Colorado about blew it to an unranked Colorado State that they were favored 25 points.
Even if Colorado had just beaten TCU in Nebraska, which is how they did, if they just didn't have prime, they definitely wouldn't have rushed the field.
Right.
Wouldn't have rushed the field. But, like,
You've done nothing yet.
Yeah.
You literally have done nothing yet.
But I do think that when they play Oregon on Saturday.
That's a big game.
It is a big game, but like Oregon's not the type of team that I think Colorado. When I watch Colorado, I don't see. Now, this, granted, breaking news, I'm no football expert, but like I don't see SEC top trench guys, size. There's a couple guys that are really quick. That's what we see out of the West Coast teams. Like, twitchy, fast guys, but when it really gets down to it, they don't have the lines of scrimmage. That's what I see in Colorado. Fun to watch, super fun to watch. Don't think they would fare well versus a team like LSU or even Alabama for that matter, Georgia. They may fare well against Oregon. I don't know. Oregon's the same type. They're not now with Dan Lanning there. Maybe that they've changed their identity a little bit. But historically speaking, I don't think Oregon's going to be the team that just like pushes you around in the trenches.
They're not going to out physical.
Maybe they may, now. Granted, I may be an idiot because I'm unfamiliar with Oregon's game this year. So,
yeah. I mean, the hype on Colorado. They're 3-0. He's changing it, and more power to him.
We're talking about him.
Yeah, we're talking about him, and I think he's doing a good job there. I'm not hating on Deion, but
no, I'm not either.
But here's the thing. He's narcissistic, and he puts himself right in the spotlight. So you're going to get both sides of it. So don't be surprised that not everybody loves you.
Yeah. Well, to my point of last time we talked about this, is like he would say that him doing that helps recruit.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what? Which is fine. He's not wrong.
No.
The kids want to go there. It's not my style, but that's cool. I'm not hating. I'm hating on the people that think that there's a lot of hate.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm not. I'm like, dude, there's no hate there. They literally have rap stars introducing them.
Yeah.
The quarterbacks, you know, Mel Kiper's talking about the draft, all this, like, the hit that Travis Hunter took was dirty, though.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
That was tough.
Last thing on Prime, like, I really do hope the best for him. I want him to do well at Colorado.
Dude, he was my hero.
I didn't want him showing up at Florida because I felt like...
Florida State, you mean?
No. Like, I'd heard, like, you know, if it doesn't work out with Napier, was the other thing, is Prime at Florida, because in spite of Florida State, because Florida State evidently has pissed him off.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's all just rumor mill stuff with the, you're talking about replacing a coach that's not going to get fired. But,
dude, can you imagine?
I don't want to see Prime in the SEC, I can tell you that much.
I don't know what to think about that.
Or do you want to see him at Florida State?
I don't know. I don't know that it scares me. I think his recruiting ability scares me, but I also think, you know how when a man, I'm going to sound like a super hater.
Yeah, but I know.
But you know how, like, when a restaurant opens and no one knows about it, and they're like, for the first 2 weeks, like, you can't even get a table because it's new, and, like, everybody wants to go. But then, when, like,
it's going to work.
The longer it goes on, you're like, yeah, that restaurant went out of business. I'm not at all saying that's what's going to happen with Colorado. I'm saying, like, the recruiting is very hyped up right now.
Yeah.
If they don't win at an acceptable level for them, will the recruiting continue to go up? I don't think that that's going to be the case. So I guess my point is I have not seen enough for me to say, yes, I would love to see him as a head coach there. Now you could say, well, you've not seen it with Bill Napier either. Well, he's our coach now. I don't know what, yeah. You know, there's not a decision to be made there, first of all. So I love Billy Napier. I'm happy.
What I'm saying is, like, Colorado, I think he's got a ceiling there. If he's in an SEC school and he's recruiting at the same level he is at Colorado with the SEC backing, mm-hmm. I just feel like he's automatically going to get some recruits there that he couldn't get at Colorado.
And I think his recruiting ceiling at Colorado is lower than his recruiting ceiling would be at Florida. In this hypothetical scenario of him coaching at Florida, which is not going to happen. But can you imagine him at a blue blood like Florida? Like think that the hype's crazy at Colorado.
Yeah.
Dude, game day would just put their offices there.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
But
because the hype would
I don't know that it would up. Last. I just don't know it would or it wouldn't last.
It'd be a
though.
Flash in the pan. Like
yeah, that's I mean, that's it, what I'm thinking.
And I honestly hope it is. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, it does. Unless we're selling a ton of Colorado product here, it doesn't do us a ton of good for Colorado to be good. But anyway, more power to them. They're great. We'll find a lot about them this weekend. Oregon's a good team.
We ain't hating on them.
No, right? we ain't okay, hating. Prime, I'm just hating on the fact that everyone says they're getting hated on. Yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense to me. Dude. Anyway, SEC this weekend, we got Auburn at Texas A&M. Interesting game. Auburn's not played a tough schedule. So Texas A&M lost to Miami. So Texas A&M is really, really going to want this game. They kind of have to have this game. Kentucky at Vandy. Again, Kentucky is another easier game. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss at Alabama. Dude, I don't know why Alabama's favored by 7. I just don't. Oh, it's at Alabama.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So
you know Kiffin wants that one.
I mean,
he smells blood.
That's the only thing Kiffin really wants now.
He smells blood this year.
He wants to get Saban. And gosh, but Prime and Saban, Kiffin, similar, you know, in that spotlight guys, you know, and then
yeah.
You kind of forget about Kip after a while. So maybe that's going to be the case. I mean, nobody's going to care about Colorado football for once they get their first, second loss. And then it's going to be, you know, you don't really hear about it.
Yeah.
So
Arkansas at LSU. See, I'm telling you, it's an interesting weekend of football. Not every game is like, oh, can't wait. But Arkansas LSU is interesting. You know, we're either going to solidify what we think we know in the LSU's top tier, or we're going to, you know, not. It's a genius observation right there. Charlotte, Florida. I'm glad Florida and Tennessee both get kind of a breather game. Because after this breather game for Florida, I think, and Tennessee, it don't stop.
How do you have Florida ranked 25 and Tennessee ranked 23, both teams 2-1, and they literally just played? This is the stuff I don't understand about college football rankings. They just
I don't
beat
either,
them
but
by,
it don't matter.
It doesn't matter, but they beat them by 13 points. This week, and then they put out their rankings, and they put, I mean, I'd be mad if I was a Tennessee fan and it was vice versa. I'd be like, whoa.
What more do you have to do?
Yeah.
Like, you literally just beat them. You have the same record. It wasn't particularly close.
Yeah.
Like, what are rankings for if we're not ranked ahead of them? But whatever. UAB at Georgia. What do you know? Georgia gets another easy one.
Mm-hmm.
Memphis and Missouri. Although Memphis is 3-0.
Mizzou favored by 7.5.
Yeah. And Mississippi State at South Carolina. See, interesting. That's a 7:30 game. What's the CBS game? Is it CBS? Oh, Ole Miss, Alabama. Yeah. So,
well, that'll be a fun one.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun weekend. I'm Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for the four game grid on YouTube TV.
Well, I'm gonna go to the UTSA and Tennessee game.
My wife's going. She's got a Skybox.
Well, I do not. I'll sit out there in the heat and be mad and probably be watching my phone for Ole Miss and Alabama scores.
Is this like the only game you're gonna go to this year?
I go to one a year. Yeah, I try to.
Why did you pick this one?
Honestly, because I'm taking a customer to the ball game, and that's an easy ticket to get.
For it. Mm. Yeah. I think I'm going to go to the South Carolina game.
That'll be a good one to watch. I try to go to one early one, and then
a chilly one.
I try to go to a night game later in the year if I can, you know, if it's a good game. Like last year was awesome. Went to Kentucky, you know, and they did the Halloween setup and all that. And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
A good game.
Oh, also Florida State at Clemson.
Oh yeah, that's it. I don't know, man. Florida State didn't look good,
dude. Boston College had like the record amount of penalties and had the ball with a chance to win with a field goal at the end of that game. Oh man, it was so close. And I'm not saying I wanted or didn't want them to win. It was just such a close game. And well, then,
I mean, I like chaos, so
yeah.
For me, I like the upset. So maybe I am a hater when it comes to Colorado. If they, you know, because I root for the dogs if I don't really have a tie in it.
But yeah, should be a fun weekend. We'll be back next Monday, hopefully with a couple W's from our teams, and then some interesting SEC games.
Should be a good slate.
Yep. All right. Thanks for listening. See you next week.